God. Wednesday evening at choir rehearsal, Lorna said, "So what's your sermon going to be on? What's your sermon text?" And I hesitated, and I told her 1 Corinthians 4, because I thought we'd get back on track as we've been away from there for a couple of weeks now. But I don't know if you noticed any kind of theme running through the songs we've been singing this morning. But as you know, no doubt, you know that yesterday a national tragedy was revealed. A national tragedy was revealed. Now, understand, President Trump survived that attempt on his life, and it could have been much more tragic. Please remember, two lives were lost yesterday. Two other lives may be lost yet. Millions of lives have been changed. You hear what I'm saying? We were talking at breakfast. We have some strange conversations, but we were talking about primary and secondary post-traumatic stress syndrome. Yeah, and please understand. So you're sitting there at a rally, I'm assuming because you support this man running for president, and then suddenly it's a beautiful day, and then suddenly the person beside you, their head is blown up. That's called primary PTSD. Okay, and the people around there, and you may have seen the video of that where the emergency room doctor had tried to save the man and failed, of course. And there was another young man that was youngish to me. He looked young. Who doesn't, right? But you just see this distress. There was blood on his white shirt, and he's sitting there in the bleachers. And I don't know anything about the man, but you just see the distress. And people saw these other people that were wounded seriously, and they saw someone try to kill the former president, and so that's all primary PTSD. And I'm not saying everybody who saw that will experience PTSD, but there will be a significant number that do. Secondary PTSD will be from those who have already begun inducing in themselves by watching over and over and over something that's causing distress in their heart and their mind. And so it could literally, it can literally be transmitted, I mean, thousands of miles away, but you're seeing it because in your mind, you know the difference between watching what you saw in the video there in the news and watching Saving Private Ryan. There's a real difference there in your mind. God has put such a computer between your ears. We have no idea. But it is a delicately balanced instrument. Okay? And so we need to remember in our prayers the families of those who were lost, killed, and that one, the victim and the perpetrator, and certainly the people who are struggling to live, and all the families and everyone who's involved. In other words, this is huge. This is a huge event, and it should be. And it should be because one of the things, when I said a national tragedy was revealed, is because you know that I'm a news nerd. We don't really have connection to television through the cable or satellite. So I go online, which is just as bad. I don't know. But it's free. So there you go. But and I don't give money to those things, right? So that's another aspect of it. I don't give money to those people who are causing some of the trouble in our society. But over and over and over again, I kept hearing people from different networks and different sites say, lucky, lucky, lucky. Do you know what luck is? Luck is a lie from Satan so that billions, billions, and billions of dollars will be left in places like Las Vegas and Atlantic casinos. Because there ain't no such thing as luck, folks. It does not occur. Everything, listen to me carefully, everything in this life, everything in this universe is a cause and reaction, a cause and reaction, a decision and a consequence. In your life, you have nothing but the consequences of your decisions or the consequences of the decisions of others. Please hear that. A very good friend of mine and his son were killed by a drunk driver. Why? Because he was a drunk driver. And he ran over them in the interstate, right? Did they have anything to do with it? Well, they had decided to be out on the interstate. Have you ever done that? Yeah. So what I'm trying to share with you is we have this society that is so adamant, so completely opposed to the reality of God that they would rather talk about luck. This morning, for the first time, yeah, I woke up this morning, what'd I do? Turn on the news as I could get it, right? See what's going on. And one man who was a congressman, and you may have seen this too, depending on who you watch for news, but he was talking about his experience as a sniper trainer, and all these just vastly experienced in Afghanistan and other places. And he was talking about things, and he said, what I said yesterday when I saw what happened, he said, this is a case of divine intervention. You see, that's what happened. You know, the truth of the matter is I'm not a real good marksman or anything, but from the distance they're talking about, that's not a tough shot. Not a tough shot. So, anyway, I'm thinking, John's looking at me. I'm sure he could make it shot much further out than that. But the point is, I want us to see today, as we're talking about the difference between luck and divine intervention. Luck and divine intervention. You see, it's about a self-centered life and the life of a servant of God. Okay? So we're not going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as it may have been intended originally, but we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 54. And as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 54, let me share this with you. We all know chapter 53 because that's about the suffering servant. It's all about the Messiah who's going to hang on a cross. That cross that Lorna was singing about, taking our messes and leaving them at the foot of the cross. That's what Isaiah 53 is about. Because of his suffering, by his stripes we are all healed, it says, right? And so that's what Isaiah 53 is about. And then God goes on in chapter 54 to talk with us about our lives as God's servants. God's servants. And so I'd like for you to join with me, please, in Isaiah chapter 54. And we could read the whole chapter, but for our purposes today, let us begin in verse 9. Verse 9. Isaiah 54, verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Now, somewhere in here, you might want to highlight these words in your Bible. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Now, please, if you highlight any verse at all today, highlight verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we do come with our praise indeed. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us, your Holy Spirit guiding us, directing our worship, helping us to see ourselves as you see us. And help us, Lord, now in this time of worship. Help us to surrender our hearts, our minds, our wills to you. We pray, Lord, a special blessing of peace for the families of those who have experienced loss, the victim and the perpetrator. We pray for those who are battling for their lives. And we pray for those who are suffering because of what they experienced and will suffer more. And Lord, we pray to the God of all comfort, to the Prince of Peace, to do what only you can do. We pray all these things in the name of our Savior Christ. Amen. So we see here, there are several verses in the passage there where it's just using some very flowery, if you would say that, flowery language to talk about how blessed the people of God, the servants of God will be, that they will, it talks about the jewelry, the jewels upon which your cities will be founded. It says, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires and carbuncles and pleasant stones. All that's just talking about the incredible blessing that God is going to be. Yeah. Now, is it interesting to you that God talks about the incredible blessing that he's going to be to his servants, and he talks about things that we find valuable, right? For where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also, right? So if I were saying, you know, we got a pack of M&Ms here for everybody who wants to have a pack of M&Ms, some of you say, oh, great, I love M&Ms, and it'd be nice to have a little snack while the preacher's boring me. But if I said, you know what, I've got this small package of rubies and diamonds for everybody, how many of you would be willing to walk down the aisle for that? You know, right? Well, the truth is, right, that's saying. God is saying, listen, and please hear this. This is throughout the Bible. I mean, I'm not going to take the time with you right now, but go begin in the book of Genesis and read about all of the covenants, beginning with Adam, you know, and go right through and see if we don't see that God's covenant. Listen, God's covenants are always conditional. Please hear this. I know some people teach about these unconditional covenants of God, but listen to me. All of the covenants of God have been established and completed in Jesus Christ. Right? John 3:16. We know that covenant, don't we? For God so loved the world. You say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that everybody in the world would be saved. Wait a second. That didn't sound quite right, did it? Somebody messed that up. It's whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right? That in itself, dear friends, is clearly a conditional covenant. Right? And so what I'm trying to share this with you is that when we're talking about living a life of a servant of God, we need to understand something. He's called us to be more than servants, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But anybody can be a servant of God. I want to take you for just a moment to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44, so it's not very far away. Just turn left a little bit there, right? Left, right. 44 and verse 28, we're talking about a king named Cyrus, an emperor named Cyrus. 44:28. And we're just going to start there. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord, in 45:1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed to Cyrus. Who's he talking about being anointed? Cyrus, as far as we know, a pagan king. Okay? So, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. And we're going to stop there. I just want Cyrus. Now, Isaiah is writing this about 150 years before the birth of Cyrus. Man, wasn't that lucky that God would tell his prophet the name of this emperor that was going to be born a century and a half later? Wow, that's amazing luck, isn't it? Doesn't that sound stupid? I mean, I know that's not a nice word, but listen to me carefully. That's what it is. It is foolishness. And I want to share that with you because I hear people say, well, you know, that young man was only 20 years old. How did he get to the point where he could do that? I'm going to go someplace where I've been going for 35 years. And every time I go there, people get unhappy. Okay? I understand that. I've come to expect that. As you know, Suzanne was a teacher in high school when I met her. She was teaching my class, and I'm just kidding. Sorry. Wasn't really that funny, was it? So I was in flight school, and she was teaching, and we met at church. Amen. That's not a bad place to meet somebody. You know, I'm just tell you. And so she knows a little bit about school. She was teaching school for several years there, and then I noticed when I got back involved with schools and students and things, things are very different now. I went to public school until I went to seminary. Every minute of my education was in a public schoolroom of some kind. Hear what I'm saying? Nashville, Tennessee, public schools, and then the Middle Tennessee State University, where I got a degree before I went to the Army. Okay? So, what I'm going to tell you is maybe contrary to your feelings, but the reason that a 20-year-old could wind up doing Satan's work is because that's what he's been taught. That's what he's been taught. You see, and I don't know anything about the young man. I don't know anything about him, never heard of him, of course, before yesterday, or this morning, actually. But one thing I can assure you, that almost every public school is not really about education, it's about indoctrination. And what is the indoctrination about? It is saying, there is no God, you are God. This Bible is just a book of fairy tales. You have your own truth. Does that sound familiar? If you listen to some of these folks today who have these talk shows, that is exactly the kind of language they're using, because that is exactly what they're expecting from that audience. You hear what I'm saying? Why is it that we would expect a 20-year-old to be so different when, listen to me carefully, less than 5% of 20-year-olds in this country claim to know Christ as their Savior. Did you hear what I said? Less than 5% claim to know Christ as their Savior. Why? Because we have a social structure that says if you're going to go to church and let that be a social event on Sunday morning, as long as it doesn't affect your life, you're okay. Just leave that all there because, you know, religion is okay, but it gets in the way of science. And if you're a 20-year-old today in America, you believe that there are 78 different genders or whatever the number is up to now. You believe that you and I are the cause of global warming? Now listen to me carefully. We are so much warmer than we were during the Great Ice Ages. Right? When did the Great Ice Age occur? Thousands of years ago. Thank God for the thaw, right? You see what I'm saying is, I'm not a scientist, but I can tell you something. When people are lying, they have an agenda. And the agenda is, don't believe that old man in that pulpit. If you happen to be in a building, don't believe him. Don't believe the Word of God. You have your own truth, and you live it. No one can tell you you're wrong. Do you hear what I'm saying? Have you heard other people say that? Who are you to tell me I'm wrong? Well, I'm not trying to tell anybody they are wrong. I will say, if you don't align with the Word of God, you are wrong. That's not me saying that. That's God saying that. Now, you like it or not, it doesn't change the reality. You see, here's an interesting thing. I used to go to the hospital there in Mandeville, Louisiana. It's for it was for counseling. I was the counselor, by the way. I was the counselor, and I was trying to help people. And some of those people were there because they were guilty of crimes and had been required by the court to be there. Okay, and some people were self-committed and so forth. But every one of them had a reality. Listen to me carefully. If you do not have a reality that includes and in fact is based upon the reality of a God who is the creator of all that shall ever be, you are already on the path of depravity. And that's just a matter of how far down that path you're going to wind up. Because some people do indeed commit murder because they began somewhere along the way saying, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in His Word, and I'm going to do whatever I choose. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119. Okay, so the truth of the matter is, we should not expect anymore from people who are 20 years old and believe that what you and I are saying and hearing today is a fable. Now, most of the people that are 20 years old today aren't in a building like this. They're not hearing a message like this. And I'm sharing this with you because we need to be reminded that God has called us to be servants of His. And Cyrus, unbeknownst, I think even to Cyrus, Cyrus did a great work for God and a great work for all of humanity because he unwittingly, perhaps, obeyed God. Listen to me carefully. Jesus said, but you are no longer called servants. You're now children, right? Isn't that what he said to the disciples? Hey, you're not servants anymore. What does it say in 1 John 3:1? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We're not servants. We are children of God. But listen to me carefully. If we're not living, listen to me, please hear this. If we are not living as though we are the children of God, there is a reason for it. It could very well be because we're not the child of God. All right. Now, I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying, this is the truth. We don't have a reason. Look in verse. Excuse me for a second. I'm still back here in 44. So let me go back to 54, and let me take you back in verse 13. 13 and 14 are there together because for a particular reason. It's almost like God planned to say these words together. It's amazing. In verse 13, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Do you find evidence that our children, the young people of today, are at peace? I have watched enough news to know better than that, right? I mean, there are all kinds of demonstrations and riots and things going on campuses and all these other things. Listen to me carefully. Part of the reason that we have so much anti-Semitism and some people who are educated aligning themselves with terrorist organizations, Hezbollah, Hamas, whomever, it's because, listen, they're not the children of God and refuse to be the servants of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so here, these things that, you know, the language that we use reveals the condition of our heart. Does that make sense? So if I talk about being lucky, it may be because I really don't believe in a God of intervention. It may be because I don't feel comfortable. If I do believe in God of intervention, I don't feel comfortable in talking about him before you or before this congregation, this audience. Jesus had a word for people like that, a title. Not a pastor, but it was a hireling. A hireling. In other words, if you pay me, I'll say whatever you want me to say. Right? And I'm just telling you, folks, part of what's going on in our society is that we've had churches that are so-called led by hirelings who will not say, but this is what the Word of God says, and if your life does not reflect that, it may be because he's not your father. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying this in love, and I hope you're hearing it with a loving attitude from me, because, folks, I don't know how else to say. We can examine our own hearts because we know who we know. And glory to God. You can know with certainty Christ. But I'm sharing this with you that so many people, I watched the video, as you can expect, several times, and I watched people. And it was amazing to me the lack of panic with several shots being fired into that crowd. But just because you do not panic does not mean you know peace. Do you hear the difference there? Please hear that. Because there are circumstances in our lives where the only one, who will know the condition of our hearts is the only one who can comfort it. He is the Prince of Peace, right? And he's given us this great privilege. It says that our children shall be taught of the Lord, and that is our responsibility. Whose responsibility? As parents? Yes. As grandparents? Yes. As a church? Yes. As a Christian? Yes. I have limited interaction with children that are not members of the church or part of the family or the congregation. I still have an obligation to present to them something of Christ in every occasion that he leads me. Do you see that? And you, brothers and sisters, you have the same obligation to share with the children. Who are the children? I'm going to tell you, Paul talked about Timothy being his child, his son. I think anybody that doesn't know Christ ought to be thrown in that basket. Okay, I don't care what their age. And so we have the obligation to share Christ as we know him. As we know him. Think about what I'm just saying. I'm a little more excited about that than you all seem to be. I don't know. As we know him, does that not thrill your soul to think about, I know Jesus Christ personally. I know him. There's something about that name. Glory to God. And so what we need to be doing, because do you think as we continue on this route, do you think the hatred and vitriol and all those things, do you think that's going to calm down if God doesn't intervene? And how is God going to intervene? One of the ways that God intervenes is by his servants, like Cyrus, but also his children. We are called to be salt and light. I heard somebody talking about, we were invited, you know, we don't ever go to the movie, okay? We don't ever go to the movie. And so we went to the movie yesterday at someone's invitation because they said, hey, this is going to be a great movie. It's PG-13. How bad could it be? I don't know how bad it could be, but we left, okay? PG-13. And so they're using language. And I'll tell you, I don't know what else happened, but I didn't see anybody else leave. But I just wonder, you know, what does it take for a Christian to say, you know, I don't think I have to sit through listening to my Father's name taken in vain. Right? Does that offend you enough to make you leave? I'm going to tell you, I've heard church folks say, it was so bad, I almost got up and left. Well, almost, praise the Lord then. Right? And so we have this obligation to be different because he's made us different. You are a new creature in Christ. It says here, thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Do you know how precious that peace is? Because it is not only that peace that passes understanding, it is the peace that passes measure of worth. It is priceless. And so look what it says in verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Do you remember 2001? September 11. Most of the people that I saw were just about that far away from full panic. I was at Fort Bliss at the time, and I saw people doing, in the military, doing all kinds of stupid things. I mean, just saying all kinds of crazy things. We were told, okay, go over to the blood bank because we're going to give blood for the... I said, well, boss, I don't mind giving blood, but anybody in that tower ain't going to need no blood. I'm sorry. We get these things and we lose sight of that is not reality. And so what I'm asking you is, in the reality of your heart, is there peace? Is there no fear of oppression? I want to share this with you. It says in verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now, this is the servants of the Lord. Who is that? That's anybody serving God. That's anybody serving God, Cyrus or anybody else. All these things, servants of the Lord. However, you and I are not servants of the Lord only. Again, we are children of God. He's adopted us through the blood of Christ. And it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Where does the righteousness come from? It comes from the blood of Christ. Listen to me carefully. You, in the eyes of God, are as righteous as the blood of Christ himself. I'm going to ask you, do you feel lucky today? You feel lucky? Or do you feel like God has intervened for you? Would you rather count on being lucky? Let's go to Vegas and be lucky. Let's trust God and let him do for us miracles. And sometimes by being obedient, we get to see those very miracles. Let's pray together. Father, we come with our praise indeed. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for intervening in our lives, our eternity. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to be agents of change, disciples of Christ, committed to his cross and his glory. For we pray in his holy name. Amen.